News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
WBBM News Time is 10:30.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Caesar said it. Let me have fat men around me. A fat cat is a contented cat. Fat people are jolly people. Sure. We know all the old cliches, don't we? Including everybody loves a fat man. But does everybody love a fat girl? Not, it would seem, from this.
Get up. I must get up. I mustn't wake anyone. Shh. Not the elevator. The stairs. I have to go to the roof. The roof. Bad dreams. A whole new world for me. Just have to step off and fly. Step off and fly.
Our mystery drama, Happy Death Day, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
Bell Auto Imports, 2500 South Michigan, announces cashback rebates. $300 cashback on any new 76 Fiat 128 sedan or wagon. $400 cashback on any new 76 Fiat 131 sedan or wagon. Only Bell Auto Imports offers rebates on new Fiat 128 and 131 models. Wouldn't $300 or $400 come in mighty handy right now? You can use your $400 rebate toward the down payment on your new Fiat 131, or just keep the money for any purpose you desire. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now at Bell Auto Imports, where they back up every deal with the finest parts and service on four giant floors at 25th and Michigan. Yes, Bell's 55-year reputation rides with you. So come see the all-new Fiats. Get up to $400 in cash rebates at Bell Auto Imports. Open daily until 7, Saturday until 5, closed Sunday at 2500 South Michigan Avenue, just minutes from the Loop.
Dreams. Waking and sleeping, they are so much a part of all our lives. No problem in understanding the daydreams, the idle fancies and rosy wishes we would like to fulfill or have fulfilled. But what of the others, the ones that come unbidden in our sleep, the terrors of the night that haunt us like specters and bring us awake, blood drained by fear, the silent scream distending the throat? Is there any explanation for them, any reason? And... Can they forecast the future? Even a person's death?
No. Oh, no. No, please. Please. I can't stand this killing me.
Marge, honey, what is it?
Paul, is that you?
Well, of course. Who else? And in our own bed.
Hold me. I'm terrified. It's so dark.
Now, wait a minute. Now, that takes care of being in the dark. Now, come here. Come closer. There. Now, how's that?
pain.
Honey, what is it? You're shaking all over.
I'm scared out of my life.
Another dream.
No, no, Paul. This wasn't just another dream. This was a horrible, special thing. Paul, I'm going to die.
Well, who isn't? What are you talking about, die?
I dreamt it, I know it.
Dreams don't mean anything.
Just one day.
Well, how?
Because it told me when I'm going to die.
Well, then maybe you better tell me about it.
Only two things about the dream. What you'd say, you know, factual, I guess. I mean, they were totally clear, unmistakable.
What, Marge?
That it was just before midnight, and that it was my 28th birthday.
Well, that doesn't seem so frightening.
I didn't talk about the third thing, which I hope isn't real. At midnight was the exact moment that I died.
Died?
Yes. Oh, Paul. Honey, do I have to talk about it? I think I'd like to...
To forget it.
Yeah, but you know what I'd really like?
You just name it.
I'd like to just go down to the kitchen and have some cocoa or chocolate or... Maybe I could make you a little snack. There's some Danish left from this morning. And we'll just pretend I never dreamed what I dreamed.
Honey, it's late. I have an early morning, you
know. Oh, come on. It wouldn't be the first time we stayed up late.
That was before we were married.
Does that make it so different now?
No, of course not. All right, come on. Let's go have a midnight snack, and you can turn me to quivering jelly while you tell me about your nightmare.
You sure you wouldn't like a little mocha cream cake?
No, thanks, dear.
Well, all you had was coffee.
Which I'm out of my mind to be having at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Ah, then why did you have it?
I just wanted to keep you company. Marge?
Mm-hmm?
You're not going to eat any more cake or stuff, hmm?
Why not? You think it isn't good for me?
No, I didn't say that. I just meant... Look, I don't want to get involved tonight. Just drink your chocolate and eat that gooey cake and let's get back to bed.
Hmm? I don't think you're being very fair.
Well, neither do I, but I'm just tired now. Why can't we go back to sleep?
Because I'm scared to go to sleep, that's why.
Because of the nightmare?
Yes.
Come on now, baby, be reasonable. It was just a dream. How bad could it be?
Well, so far, you haven't cared enough to be interested.
I'm sorry, I did ask you to tell me about it.
A little more than that, hubby love. You suggested that I turn you into a quivering jelly while I related it.
Okay, convert me to aspic right now.
Oh, I wish I thought there was anything funny about it. But I don't.
No gags, no cracks. Now lay it on me quietly. What did you dream?
I was in this place. It was dark and shadowy. The sort of space where there are only elevators and stairs. I mean, staircases going up. The elevators weren't running, and so you had to go up the stairs. But first off, you had to go down a long, dark corridor. And then there was the door, and the staircases began. And you started climbing because you knew that something was behind you, treading on your heels, ready to smother you, kill you. And then the panic began, because it was getting closer and closer. So I started climbing faster. But no matter how many stairs I climbed, there were more and more. And no matter how fast I climbed, the steps came closer and closer. And then, at last, I was on a high place where you could look out over the world. I was no longer closed in. But that presence, it was right behind me. If I had to escape, I'd have to run back down all those steps that went on forever and ever, or jump all the way down to the distant lights below. So I turned to face whoever it was that was dogging my heels. It was so terrifying because whoever it was, he had no face. Everything else was a man, but no face. And he kept coming towards me. He was like a leper. I couldn't bear to have him touch me. So what else was there left for me to do but to jump?
And did you?
What?
Jump.
In my dream?
Well, of course. What else?
I don't know. That's when I woke up.
And now you're safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, darling. You had a bad dream, but you're awake now.
Yeah.
The lights are on, and you're in your husband's arms. Val, I don't know how much longer I can stand it.
Poor Paul. I know my sister is a trial.
A trial? She gorges herself on cake and candy. She's blown up like a balloon. And now all this dream nonsense. I have to hold her and croon over her like some lovesick mother with her first baby. Makes me gag.
Well, how do you think it makes me feel? The two of you in bed?
Well, she is my wife.
Only as long as I keep quiet about us.
All right, you don't have to remind me.
Paul, our relationship may be very close, but it isn't exactly founded on trust.
I'm not trying to double-cross you.
Well, you better not. Save it for my dear half-sister, who better not be your wife any longer than a month from today.
Valerie, have a heart. Let me hang a little loose.
No. The moment the money is legally hers, I want you to deliver on your promise.
I haven't figured out a way yet.
Well, you'd better. For 28 years, I have hated that soft, blue-eyed, fat little phony. She smarmed around my father, all lovey-dovey, she and her mother, while I got the Cinderella treatment, even though I was the first. Just because my father hated my mother and never forgave her for divorcing him, I had to take the blame. And Marge and that harpy who gave my father his favorite child made sure I never had a chance.
All right, Val. We've been over all of that before.
Well, I just have this feeling, lover, that we need to keep going over it. Now, why are you suddenly ducking the issue?
Valerie, this attempt to control dreams is a new world for me.
Well, according to you, it was simple. The game of dreams. Wasn't that your phrase? That under hypnosis, it was possible to suggest what a person might dream?
I believe it is. And I'm not without some medical support for that belief.
So? You already have her dreaming about dying on her birthday. Isn't it working?
Not exactly.
Why?
Because we have to establish a pattern. I can't get her to walk in her sleep yet. Now, if that were set up, then she could die without suspicion. I mean, it's a lot of money, isn't it? It's worth any kind of a risk. But it's also worth being very careful about making sure that we get it the right way.
Very well, Paul. How do we proceed now?
I gave you the name of Madame Nadia Kiryalov from my old carnival days.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get Marge to go to her. She's made herself quite a name as an interpreter of dreams, tarot card reader, diviner of the future, and so on. Now, I don't want the suggestion to come from me. You try to coax Marge to go to her. It shouldn't be too difficult.
All right. But why?
Just contributory evidence. I'll program Nadja on what to say.
Oh, does she have to be included?
Oh, honey, she won't know what's involved. Just a favor for an old carny friend. She'll play it just the way I ask. She owes me a few favors.
Oh, just bet she does, and vice versa.
Not what you think, Tiger. Nadja's at least 80. And if she turned out to be 102, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, will you just steer Marge her way?
Did Paul leave?
Yes, I think so. He said something about a luncheon appointment.
Oh, yes, that's business. He thinks it'll be a job offer.
Oh, good. I'll make you some fresh coffee, if you like. I didn't make any more because I thought you were still asleep.
No, I couldn't sleep. I was afraid.
Afraid of what, Marge?
Oh, afraid I might dream it again.
Oh, come on. What's so scary about dreams? Well, let me make you some nice hot coffee. That'll wash away the cobwebs.
No, not these cobwebs. Not this dream. What does it mean when you dream you're going to die, Val?
Nothing. Dreams don't always mean something.
But wouldn't it mean something to you if you dreamed that in just about a month on your birthday, you were going to die? Why would I dream a thing like that? What does it mean?
Oh, Marge, how can I tell? But there are people who, well, you know, read dreams, sort of, I don't know, divine what they're all about.
Wish I knew someone like that. Someone I could go to. I'm so... Well, there's a box of chocolates on the table. Hand them to me, will you?
Oh, sure. But shouldn't you...
I know. I eat too many, but it helps me to... calm down. It's like smoking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, There's this girl who works at the office with me. She was having all these terrible dreams, and they were giving her migraine headaches. And then somehow she found out about a Madame Kiryalov.
Who?
Well, she's kind of a seer-like. And she can read dreams and explain them so you understand and you don't have to be afraid of them.
Where is she? Where can I get to see her?
Well, I could find out from my friend. Oh, wait a minute. I think she gave me a card. I'll go look for it.
You think she could tell me I wasn't going to die?
Well, she might.
But supposing she told me that my dream was going to come true.
Oh, well, she'd never do a thing like that, even if...
If it was? Oh, God. Well, just the same, I think I'd like to go and find out.
Now, here's a nice, complex, tangled web to untangle before we get to the end of our fiction. A girl threatened by money, murder, and madness, any one of which may lead her to her doom before her approaching birthday. Will it instead turn out to be her death day? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Here's one January white sale that offers more than sheets and towels. Now True Value Hardware stores offer their quality True Test white paints at special low prices during their True Test January white paint sale. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about just two of them. You'll find True Test Easy Care white latex flat enamel, the wash and wear paint, on sale for just $9.97 a gallon. Most stains, grease, and grime can't readily penetrate Easy Care's enamel hard surface, so they simply wash away without leaving a shiny mark. And True Test Easy Care has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. True Value Hardware stores also offer True Test Satin Hue White Flat Interior Latex on sale. It provides a rich, flat finish you can wash. It usually covers most surfaces in just one coat and dries in just 30 minutes. It's just $8.97 a gallon. Save on these True Test white paints and more during the True Test white paint sale, going on now exclusively at participating True Value hardware stores.
And it is called in the paint, Larry Lund. And now, introducing his opponent in a charcoal gray with sooty stripes, Dirty Harry.
Now, as both men move to the center of the ring, we see Dirty Harry, cocky, confident, harassing his opponent orally with his typical pre-fight chatter. Let's listen. It will not be a clean fight, ladies and gentlemen. Dirty Harry, the more aggressive of the two, mixes up his punches with a barrage of sulfides, hydrocarbons, and, of course, his big closer, carbon monoxide. Lungs, meanwhile, fights a more defensive battle in the hopes of simply outlasting his opponent. And now, as we await the bell, we pause for this message.
Dirty air is out to knock the breath out of you with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. Don't take it lying down. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Somebody, sooner or later, is always saying something familiar, and usually more than once. Certainly, this old saw is well-worn by now. It's all in the point of view. We're already pretty well acquainted with Paul and Valerie's point of view, so let's examine Marge's a little more closely. Or rather, listen to her examine it herself.
I've always been fat, ever since I can remember. I guess when I was a little kid, they called me chubby. And then in my teens, it was pleasingly plump to the older people. And the boys used to say I was stacked. Once I got into the 20s, particularly after Dad died, it was overweight. Or behind my back, they just called me what I am, fat. I eat too much candy, sweet stuff and things. I used to think it was because I've always been a loner. I don't think Mom ever really wanted me. Anyway, she died when I was 10. And there was only Dad. And when he went, I guess I would have been lost if it hadn't been for Paul. He was so sweet from the first time I ever met him.
Oh, here he is now. Paul! Oh, Paul!
Hi, Valerie.
Oh, could you come over for a minute?
Well, that's an offer too good to turn down.
Well, you're too good to believe.
I only aim to please.
Oh, I don't know whether I'm doing you a favor, Marge, or just making trouble, but this crazy guy is Paul Werner.
Well, I'll admit to the name, but not the nature. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Werner.
Paul, this is my little sister. I've told you so much about Marge.
Well, not so little.
Oh, well, I... Val and I, we're half-sisters. That's why we don't look anything alike.
Oh, there's Dick Patterson. Oh, Dick! Oh, say, would you excuse me, kids, but I've got to ask him about the dart tournament next month. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
Well, I don't want to leave you alone, Marge.
She won't be alone. Not if she can stand my company.
I couldn't believe it was happening. Just like in a movie or a storybook, he walked right into my life. Like that.
You look lovely.
You're putting me on, Paul.
Why would I do that?
Well, the other night when we met, you made a crack. Listen, I don't blame you, but I wasn't so little, remember?
Yes.
So?
Well, I meant that you were very much a woman. What else did you think?
I thought you meant I was, well, you know, overweight.
Marge. You can't believe that I would make a remark as awkward as that.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I brought it up.
Well, neither do I. But as long as you have, let's get one thing straight. I don't like skinny women.
Oh.
I love a figure that flaunts what it is. It says, I'm a woman and I'm proud of it. Now, before we order dinner, would you like to dance?
I'd love to. In his arms, I forgot my weight. I was floating. He was a marvelous dancer, and his body, lean and strong against mine as he held me close, put thoughts in my mind I was less ashamed of than thrilled by.
You're marvelously light on your feet.
I used to dance with my father. I always thought he was the best dancer in the world. Till now. You must be a professional.
No. But I do love to dance.
What do you do?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose I was spoiled being left so much money, but I traveled a good deal. I became, jack of all trades. But I decided to become at least master of one, so I'm a promoter.
What do you promote?
Well, that really would be a bore. It all has to do with money. Investing, managing, finding the right tax shelters, protection of capital growth plans, you know. But that isn't anything to talk about on a romantic evening. I don't want to bore you. I want to charm you.
You don't bore me. You know, in a little over a year, I'll have quite a bit of money of my own. Maybe you could help me with some kind of investment plan.
Look, I couldn't care less about that. I have other plans for us in which you might share. Or will, I hope. Now, let me hold you close and let's dance.
We were married 6 months later. Paul gave me the most beautiful engagement and wedding rings. And I promised myself that my present to him was going to be to slim down. But somehow I never quite seemed to manage. Just as I never seemed to be able to stop my dreams.
Tell me what you dream.
Well, Madame Kirillov, sometimes I dream I'm in a room with this snake. And I'm afraid of him, and I run all about the room. But the walls are smooth, with no doors or windows. And the snake keeps writhing towards me, and then he reaches up, coiling on his tail. And just as he strikes out at me, I wake up.
And that is so difficult to interpret. He is the symbol of man, of fertility. And I think you must not be afraid. You love your husband very much, no?
Yes, I do.
And you would like to have his child?
I suppose so.
But you are a little afraid since you never had a child yet. So that is all the meaning. Now, what other dreams?
Oh, there's so many. Well, mainly the one that I came to see you about. If you can get rid of my fear about that one as easily as the others, I guess I wouldn't feel so insecure.
Tell me.
Well, give me a minute to kind of get hold of myself. This one is so real, it's hard even to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
everything else is a man, but not a face. And he comes towards me like a leper, and I can't bear to have him touch me. So what else is there left for me to do but jump? Well, can you read that dream for me, Madame Karyalov?
Mrs. Werner, you will forgive an old lady, but
what is it? Are you ill?
No, not ill. Not in the body, but in the soul.
I don't understand.
There are people like myself who find paths to the supernatural, but there are others for whom there are no signs, only absolute knowledge. The true mediums, the apostles of the new truth, the future knowledge. You are one of those. And before you, I am humble and afraid.
What are you saying? That I'm going to die within the month? My dream is foretelling me that?
I have a splitting headache, Paul.
Let me massage your neck the way I used to. Now, what's wrong, darling?
It's the dream, Paul. I'm scared. I know I'm going to die.
Just because of a dream?
How many people dream the exact date and the exact age that they're going to die?
I don't know. Darling, why don't you let me sit here facing you and persuade you to relax and forget about any fears or dreams?
Just the way you've always been able to, since the beginning.
I hope I can always help.
Oh, Paul, you've always been able to hypnotize me.
I don't claim any such magic power.
It's true. Something about your voice. That strange amulet you wear around your neck with all the colored brilliance, the little slivers of mirror in it.
You mean my Indian charm?
Whatever it is, I love it. As I love you. It makes me feel so drowsy. Sometimes I think it swings back and forth like a pendulum.
The mark of time. The measure of the tiny bridge we all can cross between the waking and the sleeping.
I can feel all the tensions drain away.
As they should. As they should. You're falling softly, softly into the transition between the conscious and the subconscious.
But
you want to forget everything but the peace of being in suspension. Go to sleep. 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 Until I tell you, I don't want you to hear me when I speak again. Marge? Marge? You are asleep. All right, Val, come in.
I don't want to wake her.
You can't. Only I can do that. Come in.
What are you going to do?
You'll see. Marge, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you a dream that you are going to dream. But you will not stop to look at the man or whoever is following you, right?
I won't try to see him.
You will run from him because you know there is only one escape.
There is only one escape.
To jump, to fly free and know that you will fall to safety.
I will fall to safety?
Because I will be waiting to catch you. There is no danger. You will be safe. You must try it tonight.
Tonight, Paul? It's too soon.
Val, it's only the first of a few times. We need to set it up so that it might happen. And that no one is to blame but Marge herself.
What are we going to do?
Test it out. Post-hypnotic suggestion. I'm going to tell her that at 11:45 she's to get out of bed, walk out the door and climb the stairs to the roof of the apartment house, thinking all the way of the dream, remembering it, making it come alive.
Well, can you do that?
I can try. She's very susceptible to any hypnotic suggestion.
But suppose it works. I mean, suppose she gets up there and she does jump. It's too soon. I mean, she doesn't inherit if she...
Don't worry. Once she moves out of bed, I'll have the doorman and the elevator man and the superintendent. notified so fast, there'll be no chance of anything happening, except establishing an alibi for the night when it really happens.
Paul, will it really work? Is it that easy? You plant the idea in her mind and she'll just jump?
Wouldn't it be delightful if that's all there was to it? Of course not. You can plant any sort of an idea in the subject's head, and within reason, they'll follow instructions, as long as it is not against their own nature or desire.
Well, then what's the point of all this?
But neither of us want to be arrested for murder, do we? Not together. The night it happens, we can establish an alibi. But it will only hold up if Marge's suicide is not unexpected, if it seems logical and natural. Because in order to make sure she goes off that roof and her inheritance comes to me as her husband, I'll have to be there to make sure that she doesn't hold back. Now, leave me alone. Before I bring her out of the trance, I want to induce her to dream her dream again. What is it? What is it, darling?
Oh, dream. That terrible dream. How did it get?
Oh, Marge, dear, it's just a dream. Now, go back to sleep.
Oh, thank heaven you're here to take care of me. Oh, Paul. You love me?
Of course I do.
I don't know how you could. I'm fat. Nobody ever loved me except me. Oh, why do I eat and eat? I don't want to be overweight. Paul,
hush, darling. You're just the way I want you to be. And it's late. You have to sleep now. Sleep.
I'm so tired. What time is it?
Almost 11:45.
Oh.
Sleep, darling. Sleep.
Yeah. Yes, I can now.
And remember.
Mm-hmm.
Remember.
Yes, I remember. I remember.
Get up. I must get up. Put on my robe. I have to go to the roof. The roof. Oh, mustn't wake anyone. No. Not the elevator. The stairs. The stairs. And then when I climb them to the open sky, no more bad dreams. No more defeats. It's a whole new world waiting for me. All I have to do is step off and fly. Fly.
The best laid schemes of mice and men gang afterglay, said Mr. Robert Burns. In this case, for mice, you could read rat. It's the pleasantest term I can think of for Mr. Paul Verner. And wouldn't it be the supreme irony if, in messing about in fields beyond human control, he lost not only his wife, but the fortune he so confidently expects to have in his hands without even having to wash the blood off them? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean. It's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be. Except for one thing. It isn't yours yet. But it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
My hand is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. Think about that the next time you're sick. Sneezing, dripping, all clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like Contact. We're number one in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Take only as directed.
Take the advice of True Value Hardware Stores and you may end up using only half as many light bulbs as you did last year. They suggest you start using General Electric Soft White Plus bulbs, bulbs that can save you time and money. Soft White Plus bulbs have an exclusive power coil filament that's stronger than regular filaments, so they'll last twice as long as the standard soft white bulbs. That means you'll replace bulbs less often and spend less money. Plus, GE Soft White Plus bulbs offer softer, more flattering light, which is easier on your eyes. Cut down the replacement of light bulbs this year and save time and money. Get General Electric Soft White Plus bulbs in 75 and 100 watt sizes. You'll find a complete selection of GE light bulbs at your participating True Value Hardware Store. This is WBBM Chicago.
Murder, for all it is the most unforgivable of crimes, is seldom planned. Most murders are committed in the heat of ungovernable rage, by accident, in the heat of some passion. Murder in the second degree. But first degree murder, the coldly contemplated ending of another person's life, is more complex. And the closer the final moment comes, the more exact and infallible the plans must prove to be.
Yeah, superintendent speaking.
This is Mr. Werner, apartment 11A. My wife is sleepwalking again. Send the elevator man to the top floor and meet me there just in case.
Good Lord, you don't think... Yeah, Mr. Werner, right away.
Help, Mrs. Strook, quick. Her sister's with her, but...
Right with you, Mr. Werner.
No, 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 Marge, you can't. You're asleep. You don't know what you're doing.
Let me alone. I can fly. I can fly.
All right, Mr. Werner, I got her.
I have her, too.
What?
Marge.
What?
Marge, Marge, oh. What are you trying to do? Now, wake up, darling. Come on. Wake up.
Well...
Wake up now. Come on.
Paul. Where am I? What am I doing here?
All right, Marge. You were walking in your sleep again.
This happened before, Mr. Werner?
Oh, just once or twice. Nothing to worry about. She's never gotten this far before.
Real dangerous with someone... I mean, fire laws. We have to have the doors able to be opened from inside to the room.
Yes, yes, I know. It won't happen again. We'll make sure of that. Just get us an elevator to bring her back down to the apartment.
I didn't dream again that night because I never went to sleep. I was afraid to. I knew I needed help. Someone beyond even my darling Paul or my sister. Professional help. I was going to see a psychiatrist.
Mrs. Werner, have you any idea why you dreamed this dream?
No, doctor. A lady that I went to that divines dreams, you know, she...
I don't. Tell me.
Well, she really made me afraid. She said that my powers of divination were stronger than hers. And I could tell she believed just what I do.
Mm. And that is?
That in a few weeks, when I'm 28, I'm going to die.
Well, let's just see if we can't change your mind. You're not your father's first child.
No. Valerie was, except by another mother. I mean, he was married before.
But you were the only child your father and his second wife had.
Yes.
And your mother died. When?
When I was just 10 years old.
Your father didn't remarry?
No. He'd already been married twice.
So you were an only child?
Well, no. There was Val.
By another mother?
Yes.
You were your father's only child by his second wife. The one who didn't divorce him. You were special. You were his favorite.
I guess.
He left you all his money, didn't he? Nothing to Valerie, your sister?
Yes, that's right.
Did you feel guilty about that?
No, I don't think so.
Today, most of us believe that dreams are generally the result of something we've done or experienced in the past 24 to 48 hours.
I don't understand.
The first thing to do is to look for a literal meaning.
But what if I can't find that?
Then we're in the jungle. We must take each dream as it comes and try to interpret it.
Well, what about my dream? I mean, the one I have again and again.
I think it's wholly symbolic.
How?
I'm going to be very frank, Mrs. Verner. I think, subconsciously, you would like to kill yourself.
Commit suicide?
In order to be reborn in a new shape. The shape you would like to be. Slim, attractive to everyone, especially men. Attractive to yourself.
That's all it is? A kind of death wish?
Oh, dear me, no. You have no wish to die. Only to change.
But who is the man who pursues me?
The one whose face you never see?
Yes.
Probably your father. You loved him very much. You looked for his approval, existed on it. How many times as a little girl have you thought, I'll die if Daddy doesn't like this dress, or the way I look, or what I'm doing?
My visits to Dr. Stowe were beginning to be of enormous value to me. I didn't dream anymore, didn't dream at all. And although it seemed to hurt Paul's feelings a little, I wouldn't allow him to try hypnotizing me anymore. I didn't want anything to interfere with my new sense of well-being. I was even losing weight.
Mrs. Werner, I'm beginning to see quite a change in you.
Thanks to you, Doctor. Inside and out.
I notice you've dropped quite a few pounds. Don't overdo the dieting, though.
Oh, I'm not really dieting. I've just cut out sweets and cakes, you know, things like that. I find I don't need them anymore.
A little security was all you needed. How about the dream?
Not once since I've been coming to see you.
Mm.
Oh, you've taught me so much.
But suddenly, 2 days before my birthday, I dreamt it again. All the same sweating terror, flight, the sleepwalking, the shrouded figure, the man that would not turn and show me his face.
Why did you wait so long to tell me about Paul and his hypnotizing you?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's a very dangerous capability in untried hands. But you let him do it last night?
Oh, I didn't let him. It just happened.
Oh, no. Anyone can resist hypnotism if they desire. It demands cooperation.
Well, I was suddenly so tired after dinner. I don't know why. And Paul seemed so hurt that I hadn't let him help me. You know, he doesn't know that I'm seeing you.
Yes. And so you had the dream again.
Yes. Do you think there's any connection?
I don't know. I only know that no one should try to practice hypnotism who is unschooled and an amateur. If I bring in my nurse, would you consent to allow me to try to hypnotize you?
Why?
I want to set a certain fixed idea in your mind that if you should dream this dream again, before you make any final step, you will demand to see the hooded figure's face, to expose your nemesis, that you will wake up and see it for what it is.
You can do that?
I can try. And further, I want to remind you of something. No one who seriously wants to resist can be hypnotized or programmed to do anything beyond his own will.
Happy birthday, dear Marge. Happy birthday to you.
Now, go ahead, darling. Blow out the candles.
Oh, and don't forget to make a wish.
The wish I can handle. I don't know about these candles. But here goes. Hooray!
Oh, you missed one.
Well, maybe that's to grow on.
Anyway, happy birthday, darling.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, both of you. Today's the day I finally came into my own. A little late,
oh,
but
better late than never.
Is that the truth?
Oh, have some of your birthday cake. It's just your style. Coconut marshmallow with lovely fudge sauce.
Oh, I think I'll pass it up. I was suddenly so sleepy.
Well, it was a long day, what with the lawyers and the bankers.
Well, my inheritance money, that shouldn't tire a person out, should it?
Well, I promise you from now on it won't. Now that you've put me in charge of it all.
It's what you wanted, isn't it?
Well, somebody has to keep track.
And there's nobody better than Paul, where so much is at stake.
Don't I know it? Oh, Val, I wonder if you mind. I think I'd like to go to sleep.
Oh, no, of course not, darling. I shouldn't be here tonight. I shouldn't even be cluttering up your lovebird's apartment. Well, off you go.
I think I will. You don't have to come now, Paul.
Oh, but I will, darling. Be right with you as soon as I finish my coffee.
Good night, my dearest. And closest.
Sleep well.
We all set? It will be tonight.
If it goes right. I've given her the sedative. I'll have to leave you now to make sure that I put the post-hypnotic suggestion in her mind.
I just go to bed.
No, no. You stay up doing the dishes, apparently. At 11:45, the pattern I've set, she'll go up to the roof. I'll follow her, and this time we'll be alone. One push, and she's gone. Then I'll be back down here with you, helping with the dishes. When she's found, we'll be cleaning up after a birthday party, thinking she went to bed.
Get up. I must get up. Put on my robe. I have to go to the roof. The roof. Mustn't wake anyone. Shh. Not the elevator. Climb them to the open sky. No more bad dreams. And then I can fly. Fly.
All right, Marge. Time to fly. Why don't you jump?
Help me. Me.
All right. If it has to be that way.
But it won't be the way you wanted it. Fly yourself. Sorry, Paul. I didn't want to wake up and see your face, of all people. But thank God I woke up in time.
Did you really know about Paul?
Only a suspicion, albeit an educated one. Were you asleep or awake when it happened?
I don't know. I only know I forgot about flying and remembered what you asked me to do.
Because it was in your own interest.
Yes. I turned, and I saw the face of death. The man who should have wanted to wish me happy birthday, but thought only of it as happy death day.
Little more to add. The story is told. Mr. Shakespeare said, "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." Not quite Marge's experience. All she needed was to wake up to life. And apparently that she has done. I'll be back shortly.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled "To the Author in Search of a Publisher." It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
When I spin my tales, I seldom offer you a happy ending. For the fabric of life is a wild game of chance, which promises nothing but what you reach and strive for. And all of us need some part of the element of luck. In Marge Verner's case, it was a dedicated psychiatrist named Dr. Stowe who steered her carefully through the wilderness of the mind. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Mandel Kramer, Carol Tytel, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
That was the Schiff, Mr. Pollister's most notorious murderer. Surely you've read some of Mr. Pollister's books.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I get enough violence and murder on the job. I don't need any for refreshment. The Schiff, okay. He's this character in Pollister's book?
Yes.
And you say he killed Mr. Pollister?
I know he killed him.
But if he is only a character in a book, someone who exists only in a printed page, how could he?
Oh, I get it.
The Shiv must be based on a real-life character, and it's this character who murdered Pollister.
No.
What do you mean, no?
The Shiv is totally a figment of Mr. Pollister's imagination. And yet, it was the Shiv who committed the murder.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
For 19 years, Arco American has been telling it like it is. More often as not, you may have paid far too much for quality auto insurance. A survey published in the Chicago Tribune dramatically substantiates this claim by Arco American. The article states that you could save up to 75% in auto insurance premiums if you shop for it. Arco American has the time and knowledge to do that, and they're good at it. They're professionals with expertise to offer fantastic savings to the qualified buyer. Call ES94677 for your phone quotation. There's no obligation, and the savings could amount to hundreds of dollars for you. Remember the number, ES94677. At Arco American, all insurance plans are available with a low down payment and easy monthly installments. Arco, that's AARCO American, is open weekdays till 8 p.m. Let Arco American save you money on your insurance needs. Call ES94677. WBBM News Time, 11:23.
CBS News. A South Korean businessman who is entangled with a U.S. investigation of influence buying is now in trouble with the IRS. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Internal Revenue Service says South Korean businessman Tung Song Park owes the U.S. government $4.5 million in back income taxes. Park is a central figure in an alleged covert South Korean government scheme to buy influence in the U.S. Congress. The IRS has filed tax liens against his property for the years 1972 through 75, the years he was allegedly active in the purported bribery scheme. More news in a minute.
Now you can get a handy reference to home repair and improvement absolutely free. Hi, Pat Summerall to explain. Just go to your participating True Value hardware store and get a copy of their Super 7 Value Circular. You'll get the price, picture, and description of hundreds of ideas for present and future household needs. It makes a super reference for home repair and improvement, and it's full of super values. So if you haven't already received your copy of the Super 7 Value Circular, ask for one at participating True Value hardware stores.
Hello, world. Dunny Bracken here from Meet the Cook, heard Monday through Saturday over most of the CBS radio network stations. Now, tomorrow is Saturday, and got a special treat for you. Alan King will be with us to share a recipe and a bit of food philosophy.
Although I know all the dietitians tell you that the big meal you should have is the first meal. I know that, but that's for the dietitians. I like taste, so I'd rather give up my food all day so when my dinner is my meal.
Meet Alan King and his crazy eggs tomorrow on Meet the Cook, here over CBS.
The White House says President Carter's pardon of Vietnam draft evaders will affect over 200,000 people. Three of five men in federal prison for draft dodging have been freed in accordance with President Carter's pardon. Eric Engberg reports from Texarkana on the first release.
Albert Finkley, in prison for 1 year, faced two more on charges of failing to report for induction in the Army. Now free, he's returning to his home and hopes to work in his prison-learned trade of welding. Finkley does not regard himself as a draft resister, but says he simply never received formal notification to report for duty with the Army. The FBI caught up with him in 1975 after he was arrested in Los Angeles on a robbery charge. Finkley says he was surprised that Mr. Carter fulfilled his campaign pledge to grant pardons, and he says that he, for one, would be willing to fight for the country in future wars. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Texarkana, Texas.
Finkley is now on a bus heading home to Fairhope, Alabama. Robert Galgano of Boulder, Colorado, was the second man freed. He was imprisoned in the Safford, Arizona Correctional Facility for draft evasion. And the third release came in Michigan, where George Neal Smith walked out of the Milan Federal Correction Facility. President Carter's energy chief, James Schlesinger, has been instructed to work with congressional leaders to develop emergency legislation to combat the energy supply shortages brought on by cold weather demands. Mr. Carter has appealed to all Americans to keep their houses cooler, 65 degrees during the day, lower during the night, as an immediate way to cut down on excessive use of remaining supplies. Federal offices would do the same. The Dayton, Ohio area is one community in the nation suffering from a natural gas shortage. Governor James Rhodes has urged voluntary compliance with energy conservation measures, including the closing of schools and the cutting back of business work weeks. Well, some schools and businesses have already complied with what they apparently thought were orders. Public hearings are on to straighten out the confusion. Dudley Kircher of the Dayton Chamber of Commerce hopes that some good will come out of all of it.
We very sincerely hope that this will draw attention to a national problem, which is a national energy shortage. Dayton had the cold weather this year. Next year it'll be someone else, and if we don't deal with the overall problem, we face many more Daytons in the future.
1 year ago, there were 131 U.S. cities with substantial unemployment, 6% or more. Today, the Labor Department scratched Kansas City, Missouri, and Knoxville, Tennessee from that list, reducing the current number to 108, including the major cities of New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Boston, and Detroit. More CBS News in a moment.
If your child throws away the lunch you send to school each day, send one day, kids eat up. If he fiddles with the middle, then throws the bread away, send one day, kids eat it up.
Kids know what bread they want to eat. Wonder. There are cheaper breads, but they're not always as fresh and soft the way kids like bread.
When you send a lunch to school, make this the daily rule. Send Wonder. Kids eat it up.
I'm Billie Jean King. I want to talk about the United Nations Children's Fund. UNICEF's vital task is to prepare millions of today's children to become useful, productive adults in tomorrow's world. If the coming generations can be liberated from the poverty, disease, and ignorance that bind them, the world will be a better place. To help support UNICEF in its enormous job of protecting and training today's children for the challenges of the years to come, write UNICEF, United Nations, New York 10017, for information.
A San Diego judge has ruled that the son of a terminally ill cancer victim can import limited amounts of an illegal drug to treat his father. The drug, Latril, was banned several years ago by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which is now reappraising its value. Michael Carnahan will be allowed to import a 3-month supply from Tijuana for treatment of his 76-year-old father, who doctors say does not have long to live. I'm Rita Sand, CBS News.
Weather Command says for the rest of the night, mostly clear and cold, dropping down to about 3 degrees with a near 0% chance of snow. During the day on Saturday, partly sunny, a little bit warmer, high of near 25, a 20% chance of flurries. And the outlook for Sunday, increasingly cloudy, warmer, with a chance of snow increasing to 40%. For the next 5 days, temperatures will be averaging 2 to 4 degrees below normal. The normal high is 32, the normal low is 17. Moisture, light as snow about Monday. Current temperatures at the lakefront, 17 degrees. It's 10 at O'Hare, 11 at Midway. The humidity is 66%. The wind is from the northwest at 12 miles an hour, giving us a wind chill index of 12 degrees below zero.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
WBBM News Time is 11:30. Frank Bernard with you at the anchor desk. Our writer-producer is Bob Say, and these are among the stories we're watching for you this morning.